Welcome to our service for Advent Sunday. As many of you know by now, on this Sunday of the year, I always like to begin with a great Advent hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come." Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way, to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness,
and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, so that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 to 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity for ever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Bydd awr ddarlleniad o lyfr cyntaf y Corinthiaid, penod 1, penillion 3-9. Gras a thangnefedd i chwi oddi wrth Dduw ein tad ar arglwydd Iesu Grist. Yr wyf yn diolch i'm Dduw bob amser amdano chwi, ar gyfri y gras dwyfol a roddwyd i chwi yng Nghrist Iesu, am eich cyfoethogi ynddo ef ym mhob peth, ym mhob ymadrodd a phob gwybodaeth, fel bod y dystiolaeth am Grist wedi ei chadarnhau yn eich plith. Oherwydd hyn, nid ydych yn ddiffygiol mewn unrhyw ddawn wrth i chwi ddisgwyl am ddatguddiad ein harglwydd Iesu Grist. Bydd ef yn eich cadw'n gadarn hyd y diwedd, fel na bydd cyhuddiad yn eich erbyn yn nydd ein harglwydd Iesu Grist. Y mae Duw'n ffyddlon, a thrwyddo ef eich galwyd chwi i gymdeithas a'i fab ef, Iesu Grist ein harglwydd ni. Thank you.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. If you'd like to join me, I'm offering 4 Bible studies in Advent on the Psalms. These are Zoom meetings. We'll only hold them if enough people can and want to join us, so please do respond to the email I sent out if you would like to. The first psalm we'll be sharing is Psalm 1, appropriately enough. But the trouble with Bible studies led by a literary scholar is that he does tend to get waylaid by technical issues which nobody else is much bothered about. So far, I haven't actually got past the first verse of the psalm. It isn't boding well. In the NRSV, the version of the Bible we use in church these days, Psalm 1 begins, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers." In the Authorised Version with which we used to be familiar, it reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." It is the first 3 or 4 words that have given me pause. "Blessed is the man" has become "happy are those." You'll recognise what has happened. To prevent the psalm from reading as though it excludes women, the newer translation has neutralised the gender by changing the number. The singular has become plural. "The man" has now become "those," and "those" maybe either male or female. We meet it everywhere today. We had a letter from a government department condoling with us on, quote, "the loss of Wilfred Bainham, with regard to their attendance allowance," and so on. It wouldn't be a lot to ask, I didn't think, for them to have 1 letter for men and 1 for women, so that it could have said "his attendance allowance" rather than "their." But using the plural for the singular in this way has become more and more normal, and old pedantic curmudgeons like me will probably just have to get used to it. In Psalm 1, though, I've been left wondering whether something important has not been lost by this process. Lost in translation, as they say. In the old translation, "Blessed is the man," the picture evoked is one of individual strength. The words depict a man who has the courage of his convictions, who cannot be diverted from the way of the Lord by the scoffing of others or by the temptations of sin. Something important, it seems to me, is lost in the change from singular to plural, because the whole point is that this central figure is surrounded by the ungodly, the sinners and the scoffers. They are indeed plural. It takes some courage for one person to stand up to them, for what he or she believes is right. I understand the problem, but I still think that some of the strength of the poem's depiction of individual moral courage has been sacrificed to make the language gender inclusive. Meanwhile, I could easily spend the next 10 minutes talking about the difference between being happy, happy are those, and being blessed. Blessed is the man. But we'll save that for Wednesday. Who knows? Do join us, we might even get to verse 3. Meanwhile, in our Old Testament reading today, we find a use of the plural which might surprise us for a different reason. The writer, either the prophet Isaiah or a later disciple of his, is making a confession, but it's not just on his own behalf, but on behalf of all his people. It is not an individual confession, but a communal one. We have all become like one who is unclean, he says, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We tend not to think in this communal way today. We are much more inclined to be individualistic. I was writing this on Thursday, and on that day my newspaper included a fascinating article on Western individualism, which arises out of a piece of comparative sociological research. When asked by researchers to complete the phrase, I am, Westerners opted for words that describe their personal attributes and achievements. I'm smart, I'm a lawyer, and so on. Others, by contrast, from different cultures, referred first to their family relationships and social roles. I am a brother, I am a friend. It comes naturally to Isaiah, let's call him Isaiah, to express repentance and regret on behalf of all his people, his brothers and sisters and his friends. He is part of them, and they are part of him because they are all part of God's people. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, he writes, and do not remember iniquity for ever. Now consider, we are all your people. We too, with our brothers and sisters and friends, are the Lord's people. And the depth and beauty of the prophet's faith are worth our consideration in this Advent season. Look at the words in which he describes a right relationship with God. These can become Advent questions that we might ask of ourselves, both as individuals and as a community. Do we wait for the Lord? Do we gladly do right? Do we remember the Lord in his ways? Do we call on the Lord's name? Do we try to take hold of him? Do we understand that he is our Father, we the clay and he the potter? Do we live in the knowledge that we are all his people and the work of his hand, that everything we are and everything we value comes from him? In the context of Advent, all this is matter for reflection and for repentance. But in grieving for our sinfulness, for what Isaiah calls the filthy cloth with which his people and he are clothed, we must remember that ours is a joyful hope. We call this season Advent because we are preparing for the coming of our Saviour, for the day when we shall see him face to face, and he shall take away the filthy cloth with which we try to hide our naked sinfulness and replace it with the shining robe that has been washed white in his blood. He has called us his people and his friends, and he will take us to himself. Amen.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today are led by Anthea, but we begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, in the language of our choice, we boldly pray. Entad, ar hyn oed yn y nefoedd, sanctedd enw, deled y darnas, gwneled y wechlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddear hebyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein barob einyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau o ninna ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni i brofyd i gaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seith o ti o'r darnas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We pray to our everlasting God through our Saviour Jesus, who is both Christ the King and the Son of Man, and who understands our needs and the needs of this world. On this Advent Sunday, we have a prayer for hope. Father God, every word in Scripture points to the gift of hope that we have because of Christ Jesus. The Christmas story wasn't the beginning of that message of hope, because the Old Testament is full of glimpses of your plan to redeem your people and restore them into a relationship with you. But we are able to truly begin to see and understand just how great your love for us is when we read the story of Jesus' birth in Scripture. Help us to see that you are with us. Nothing is too difficult for you. Jesus came to give us the gift of eternal life through the salvation that only you, our Heavenly Father, can give when we believe on your Son, repent of our sins, and confess Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. That first Christmas you gave us the gift of hope, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the centre, the focus of our lives, always and especially at this Advent time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, at this time of crisis, when so many are suffering, we pray for our nation and our world. Give our leaders wisdom and integrity, our health service strength, and our people hope. Lead us through these difficult times to better days ahead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As COVID cases are once again on the increase, both here and around the world, we pray for the doctors, nurses and care workers who are once again putting their lives on the line to serve their communities. Gracious God, give skill, sympathy and resilience to all who are caring for the sick. Strengthen them with your spirit, that through their work many will be restored to health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the research scientists who are working for a cure and a vaccine against COVID-19. We thank you for their intelligence and for their dedication. And we thank you for the very real progress that has been made both here and in the US to produce a safe and effective vaccine, which will, God willing, be available in the coming weeks and months. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift to God all those we hold in our hearts, praying for their health and well-being. We pray that even when loved ones cannot physically be together, they will not feel apart. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, as Jesus' followers asked him to help their friends, so we ask you today to help those known to us who have lost a loved one in recent months and are struggling in the darkness of grief. May they know moments of peace in their pain, moments of joy in their memories, and moments of hope in your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend ourselves and for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you all evermore. Amen. Jane and I are away this week, and I've taken the difficult decision not to do an online service next Sunday, the 6th of December. I'm grateful, though, to Judith, who will preside at the Eucharist in Newquay that day, and to David, who will lead morning prayer at Penbryn. Please note that there's a time change at Penbryn. The service there, as at Newquay, will be at 11:15. The 9:45 service at Crossan will also occur as usual. At our annual meetings, we've decided on the following pattern of services over Christmas, God willing. There are no services on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Day, there will be three services of Holy Communion, at 9:30 at Penbryn, at 9:45 at Crossin, and at 11:15 at Newquay. There'll be no services on the Sunday after Christmas. Whether the changing circumstances of COVID will mean that this is the final pattern, I'm not sure. But that's what we've decided up to now. And as I mentioned in the address today, there will also be four Advent Bible studies beginning on the 2nd of December and continuing on Wednesdays the 9th, the 16th and the 23rd. All of them will be at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. They'll all be by Zoom. And if you haven't done a Zoom meeting yet, I know many of you have, but some have not, I will send out details of how to sign on to Zoom, which is easier than you might think.
This is a bit of an experiment. We recently got some new recording hardware for the church and for recording these services. And a new feature is that it lets you overdub. So record yourself and then record yourself again on top and again. So, by John Denver, this is Country Roads, sung by me.
And me.
And me!
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, flowing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads. I hear her voice in the morning as she calls me. Radio reminds me of my home far away. Riding down that road, I get the feeling that I should have been home yesterday. Yesterday, country roads. Take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads, take me home, country roads.
Hang on, lads, I think we forgot a verse.
You mean you forgot a verse?
Well, I didn't forget it. I was following you.
You've always got an excuse. Come on. Gentlemen, calm down.
Yeah.
Come on, let's try and be nice, boys.
So big. Typical, come on, bring it.
I'll
get you too, Squeaky.
Squeaky?
You want some of this?
Yeah, come on.
I've never been so insulted in my entire life.
Come here. I'll get you. I'll pull your hair. Come on.
Oh, no. It's fish at the door. Leg it. Go away.
Flee. Ah!